Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. It's that time again. It's blaming time. Who's to blame today? All right. Well, the State of the Union is just America's longest running show, in my opinion. Who's to blame? You know, if you want to contact me, you can reach me at 347-326-9598, or I'll be hanging out on Facebook. You can comment on the thread about the show, which should be pinned at the top of my Blame Girl page. Also hanging out on Twitter, mention me at Blame Girls with an S, and I'm in the Blog Talk Radio chat room if you're a member. So this is really just my way of weaving my whole blame into my State of the Union discussion. All right? So that is my blame today. The State of the Union, America's longest running show. Who's to blame? last night when I started, the State of the Union came on last night. President Obama spoke to Congress and the American people, and I just realized, like, I didn't really want to watch it. I did it because I feel like I've seen it before, and I had. But I did watch it because I knew I would do my show over the State of the Union address. How could I not talk to you about the State of the Union when, you know, politics is kind of my thing? So I watched it. And when I do watch it, like last year, I even remember watching it, and the real reason I watched it was to crack jokes on Twitter. I wasn't motivated to do that last night. So I was just kind of bored, and it seems like this, it's just a rerun, you know? Last year, I remember President Obama talking about economic populism. That was the big theme of last year. And this year, the big theme was middle-class economics, which is just another way of saying economic populism, really. And then he always has some props, some people that he brought in to make an example of. And so, you know, who's to blame for it being a show? Is it President Obama? Is it unique to him? Is it just me feeling like that while he, since he's in office, he's putting on a show? That's how I feel. So when they deliver, each president delivers the address, they say all the things that they want to do, and they can't do it, you know? So he's telling us about all the stuff he wants to do for the American people, but we know that he has to work with Congress, and we know he's delivering this address to all Republican Congress who will not work with him. And, you know, I noticed, you know, they sound like salesmen or preachers, or like they're selling their ideas to Congress. So, but I don't think it's the president that's necessarily to blame. I also think that tradition's to blame. It's traditional. How long has it been going on? Well, President George Washington delivered the first State of the Union address, and he did it in person. And then Thomas Jefferson, he started just writing a letter to Congress. And they are commissioned in the Constitution to address Congress at least once a year, the president. And so the State of the Union address is his way of doing it. And throughout time and technology, it's turned into this big dog and pony show that we end up having to watch. And there's a lot of tradition in it. When you watch the State of the Union address, you see congressional members lined up, you know, just waiting to shake the president's hand. And what you don't really hear about is, in order for them to get that spot to shake the president's hand, they have to wait around all day just in that same spot to guarantee themselves a spot. And it's so that they can get on TV. It's really not so that they can shake the president's hand. It's so that they can get on TV and be seen on TV during the State of the Union, because America watches it. It is on all the major networks on TV now. Part of its tradition, there's been 93 State of the Union addresses throughout history. And like I said, Thomas Jefferson, he did it different. And then, you know, it's changed throughout time. It was on the radio, and then now it's on TV. But do you think that the State of the Union address is just a necessary evil? Oh, and by the way, if you want to join the discussion, 347-326-9598. Is it just necessary? Like, is it? It's good for the president to update not just Congress, but the American people, and for us to watch and listen to our president, our leader, quote unquote, speak. So, is it just a good idea? Well, like I said, it was in the Constitution, so our founding fathers seemed to think it was a good idea. All right, so. I guess let's just talk about last night's State of the Union address, about the content. So when the president came out, he basically came out touting all his accomplishments, right? Let me find a line. Okay. But nonetheless, he had Rebecca and Ben of Minneapolis, and they were a family that went through tough times, lost jobs, and they bounced back. And, you know, in his intro, he ended it with, the shadow of a crisis has passed, and I thought that was a good way to begin. And then he went into... like I said, the theme of this year was middle class economics. And what I will say that really pleased me that I heard the president talk about was the fact that child care is not affordable. He brought up a moment in history back during World War II when the women had to go into the workforce and the men went off to war, and the government kind of helped families provide child care because the women wouldn't be at home. And now child care can be like another mortgage. And no one's really talking about that. And I did notice that as well in his speech last night, because he's not running for office anymore. He can just be who he is. And he seemed to be way more liberal. Like, I heard people comparing him to Elizabeth Warren today. But he should have been doing this all along, but we know how it's been over the past, 6 years. So another thing he wanted to do to empower the middle class, he said 2/3 of jobs will require a higher education by the end of the decade. And he started kind of giving us a preview of what he's proposing with college, but he's proposing to make 2 years of community college free, which, bravo. Like, it's about time someone's bringing this up. But we know that it's going to take Congress to help get this passed and pay for it and everything. So he talked about student debt. He talked about that last year. He talked about veterans and how he's been able to slash the backlog and all of this. I think that was just a little fluff. But he did say that soldiers are some of the best employees to have. And I always heard that a long time ago, because I come from a military family, and soldiers would get hired first. But it seems like that doesn't happen anymore. And, you know, we should take care of our veterans. He talked about jobs in the auto industry. Of course, infrastructure again, because this is something that's been repeated throughout the years, highways, trains, and our internet infrastructure. He touched on trade as well. He mentioned that small businesses need to export more goods, and that we need trade deals that are not just free but also fair. And he's like, the past trade deals weren't up to the hype. You gotta love our president. He's so cool. So speaking of cool, that's another thing. Like I said, last year I watched the State of the Union to kind of do crack jokes on Twitter, but the most popular moment of last night was this.
No more campaigns to run. My only agenda, I know because I won both of them.
Yeah. Now, I know you can't see his face, but if you watched it, or if you haven't, you should watch it because it's hilarious. And my favorite story of the day was not about any of the policies he proposed, but it was about how Twitter reacted, and oh my gosh, it was very funny. You should check all that out. I'll try to get some of it up on my Facebook and tweet out some of those things that I enjoyed. So anyway, that's really what the show's about. That's why I call it, you know, a show. The State of the Union episode, 93. Because we're looking for the entertainment. I would zone out and just, like, watch John Boehner sitting back there scowling and being orange, or Biden. It's funny. And then you have little moments like these that are not in the speech, that are not part of the speech, but our president thinks quick on his toes, and he's usually pretty funny. So that was the biggest moment of the night. So anyway, back to policy. He talked about medicine. He didn't talk about that last year. Just about being more innovative in finding cures. Like, he spoke about cures for cancer. I don't know what's in development. And not just innovation in medicine, but also access to that medicine. He said he wanted the internet free and open. He touched on space, which a thing that was interesting about that was that Scott Kelly, Gabby Giffords' husband — Gabby Giffords was the congresswoman who was shot in Arizona — her husband is going to go spend a year up in space in order to prep for, he says, we're getting ready to go to Mars. And then he touched on how to get everything paid for, of course. He touched on taxes. And this is definitely a repeat argument that he can't really get accomplished, but how the game's rigged by lobbyists, it disadvantages the middle class. He wants to reward companies that create domestic jobs and quit rewarding companies through taxes that export jobs. And he also would like to tax capital gains, or at least make it more comparable to what the middle class is taxed, and drop the middle class's taxes. I wrote that he related that all to child care. Oh, yes, that's what he said. He said you could take some of this money and you can invest it in low-cost, affordable child care, which is very true. Great, these are great ideas. I love them. He touched on terrorism, the environment, Russia. He mentioned Russia and Cuba. He touched on everything. So, but I did want to tell you or read his closing to you. And basically, it is, my fellow Americans, we too are a strong, tight-knit family. We too have made it through some hard times. And this is relating it back to Rebecca and Ben. 15 years into this new century, we have picked ourselves up, dusted ourselves off, and begun again the work of remaking America. We've laid a new foundation. A brighter future is ours to write. Let's begin this new chapter together, and let's start the work right now. Thank God you, but God bless the country we love. And that is his closing, and I thought that was a good closing. We were a strong, tight-knit family. I just don't know that we are anymore because progressed so much, we made a black man president, and it's divided us like crazy. I hope I see Congress get together and get something done in these last 2 years, but they probably won't, and I'll be bitching about it on here. So thanks for joining. And until next week, who's to blame?